how to get your prayers answered. And we're going to talk specifically about prayers of petition when we're asking God for something. That's the kind of prayers we've been talking about. I have 5 pages of notes, so either get comfortable or pray. No, I'm not going to go through all of that, but I am going to hit some main points that are important to us. You know, I was thinking as we were praising the Lord and blessing the Lord and how, I mean, I just felt like we were in heaven with God, you know, all of us. And the Lord said, now what you're experiencing can be practical also. You know, some people have an idea that, oh, we'll praise God and now we go back to our trouble. No. Bring that glory of God into your life. And that's what we're teaching every week. We're teaching about faith. We're teaching about prayer. We're teaching about how to depend on God, because you need God all the time. If you stand up at your job, let's say you're on the phones all day, and you stand up in the middle of your cubicle and say, praise the Lord, you know, that's not really acceptable. But you can still bring the power of God wherever you are and bring it to bear on what you're doing. We have talked about how to get answers to prayer, and let's just review a second. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So is that you? You believe. Therefore, all things are possible. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is such a wonderful promise to stand on. The second one is too. Philippians 4:19. You see, I put AMPC. Now, that's not some secret code. There is a Bible called the Amplified Version of the Bible. Have you heard of that? Amplified. Some people prefer to read it. It has more words, so I don't usually read it. But the Amplified people came out with a new Amplified Version of the Bible. And so to distinguish between the previous one and the new one, they call the previous one the classic. And so that's why it says AMPC for classic. I knew you wanted to know that. And this is another promise you can stand on no matter what the situation. My God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now that's talking about your rent. That's talking about your house payment. That's talking about your car payment. That's talking about food on the table, clothes in the closet. He will fill to the full your every need. We're going to review. Step one was decide what you want from God. In fact, John, while we're talking, could you go ahead and hand out those little cards? I made these little cards to go through the 10 steps, but we're not going to go through all 10. We're just going to skip through them. But this way you'll have that at home, and you'll know what the steps are. Step one, decide what you want from God. Be specific about your request. Do you want a new car? Then what kind? What color? What model? Do you need a garage to put the car in? Do you have problems at home? I'm not talking about the kind of prayer where you just say, oh God, make everything better. No, let's get specific. What would make your life better? Edwards, I appreciate y'all so much. All your gifts, but most of all your support. Here they are in 2 services every Sunday. And if we had Wednesday night, we'd get them to preach Sunday's service all over again. I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Judy, I appreciate you. I appreciate what she said to me. The devil's going down, but we're not going down with him. Amen. We're not going down. Hope, I appreciate you. In all the moving and the turmoil possibly and chaos possibly, you've just stood firm. I appreciate you. I'm proud of you. Mary, I thank you. You're just so loving and so kind. Thank you. Thank you. Theda, I missed you. My goodness, every time I look back there and you weren't there, I said, I hope that Dale is doing okay. He's out of town today, so he didn't come. But he's feeling better, right? Brandon, thank you for holding up Panama. Thank God they're back. And Meredith and George, my goodness, what a blessing they are to this whole church, not just to us. Philip and Nancy, thank you for your organizational skills and your desire to do things right. We appreciate that. Juliana and EO, thank you for raising those boys in the nurture of the Lord. Thank you for keeping going. Some of us are at a place we don't have little kids and we might not have a job outside the home, and we forget. These people are keep going every morning. Get up, get the kids to school. You know, it's a could be a treadmill. It could be something that you wish you could get off. Stop the world. And yet they're faithful, and you've been faithful, and I'm so appreciative that you're here. You see, you have to decide what you want from God and get specific about that request. There was a time when I was in great turmoil, because I was worried, and I would not allow myself to express it out of my mouth. So the worry was, but I would not allow myself to express that, my fears, out of my mouth. Something was happening to someone I loved, and I couldn't do a thing about it. And I was in great turmoil and great stress about this. And I prayed and said, Lord, you're the source. You're going to fix this. You're going to deliver them, even from their own wrong decisions. You know, we're not depending on ourselves or our friends to be perfect. We're depending on the perfect God to deliver them. Amen? Decide what you want from God and get specific. Step two, locate scriptures that promise you what you want from God. Meditate on God's word and apply it to yourself. Now, last week we passed out those sheets of paper with potential scriptures, and I don't have any more. If you'll raise your hand that you don't have one, we'll see if we can find one. Everybody got one that wants one? There's a couple on the bulletin board that are taped there. You could take them off and take one of those if you want to. But anyway, meditate on God's word and apply it to yourself. For example, when I'm praying for a need, pray for a certain amount of money, I use that Philippians 4:19 and say, my God has promised to supply my need. My need is a bill, $350. I don't have the money. That's my need. But Lord, you promised to provide it, and you said you'd provide it from your riches, which John was so good to explain to us. He has plenty. He doesn't have to steal from Hope to pay my bill. He doesn't have to take from me to pay Nancy's bill, right? He's got plenty. Amen. I used to think he just had a limited amount of love, and if God loved me, somebody else would miss out on God's love. Well, the devil's a liar. He's got plenty of love for each of us. Let's go ahead. Number three, get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart. And that Matthew 12:34 says, from the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're reading, whatever you're doing, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. Amen? So we got to put good stuff in so good stuff can come out. Next scripture, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. I got fine mixed up in there. The point is, you're invited anytime, any place, anywhere. You're invited to come to God, to his throne of judgment. No, wait a minute. Throne of punishment. Throne of a whooping. No, throne of grace. And I asked the Lord, I said, I'm not sure what grace means. That's kind of a churchy word, you know. We don't use that in conversation. Do you ever say to somebody, oh, thank you for giving me grace? I don't use that term. But God said, here's a quick and easy understanding of the word grace is gift. You see, this is a throne where God gives out gifts. Man, I want to go there. I want to stay at that throne of gifts, and I will obtain mercy, and I will obtain gifts to help in time of need. And one of those gifts is wisdom, knowledge, understanding, not just money. God didn't take a gold brick and say, oh, Elizabeth, you need to pay your bills. Wham! Might hit me on my head. But he is giving us what we need. Go ahead, Hope, to this scripture. So John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Now, this is a promise that you can use. You can use this when you say, I don't know if God's going to answer my prayer or not. I'm praying for so-and-so, and they're in trouble. I have a relative, had a brother that she loved very much. I'm saying past tense. It shouldn't. They're still alive. They still love each other. But her brother had gotten really involved in drugs. And he got out of prison, but he wanted to get some more drugs. And he didn't have any money. And so he took some baking soda, and he wrapped it up, and he was selling the baking soda as if it were cocaine. Not the sharpest tack here. Well, the people obviously found out, and they came to kill him. So this is my friend's brother. They came to kill him, and she said, no, that's my little brother. And so her husband had some guns. He's a gun collector. She got a pistol out of his collection, and she went to where she knew her brother was, and she was planning to protect him, right? That's her brother. And she didn't know all these promises that we know. She was going to protect him. Well, when she got there, there were words spoken and some disagreements, and they all had to run away to not die. She threw the gun in the water, the lake or whatever, and they're all hiding, and everybody knew where they lived. You know, we're in a bad situation here, right? Not only is his life in jeopardy, her life. She's put her life in jeopardy because she wants to protect her brother. And she's got a child. So what to do, what to do? Her husband was working out of town. Well, I got word about this. This is years ago, before I even met John. I was pregnant with Juliana years ago. And so I got word of this, and so I said, I called him up. I said, I hear you got some things going on. And she said, yeah. And I said, why don't you pack up your stuff and come live with me for a while? They don't know where I live, and I live in a different town. I lived in Louisville, and they lived in down central Texas. And so she did. She packed up her stuff, and turns out she was pregnant with her second child and packed up her child. And her husband was still working out of town, but instead of coming home weekends where they lived, he just came to my house. And so we did that. Now, I brought all this up to say that she started abiding with me. And she was, you could say, under my protection. I didn't have a gun, but I had love, and I knew God. And so I began to, of course, tell her about the Lord. Oh, I forgot to tell you, her mother lived with them too. So all of these people started living with me now. But they loved a clean house, so that was great. But I'm just trying to get you to see that God is even greater than that. You know, we can get ourselves in situations because we love somebody, and now we're in danger. She was in danger of death. And what would she do? And God provided me to take care of her. I was about 6 months, I guess, they lived with us. And I thank God. Actually, I guess Julie had been, you were just born, I think. She was born in December. They came in January, so just born. But anyway, I'm trying to show you that God is even greater. And he said, if you abide with him and his words will abide in you, you can ask what you will, even if you got yourself in the mess. Do you see what I'm saying? Even if you made a bad decision or you had a wrong direction in your life, he will take care of you. Ask what you desire. Lord, I need to get out of this situation. People are chasing me to kill me. Now, that's pretty drastic. Perhaps that's not happening in your life. But if it were, he'll take care of you. He'll deliver you. I don't know what he'll do. I don't know if he'll send the police. I don't know if they'll fall over dead with a heart attack. I don't know what he'll do. But he'll take care of you if you'll abide in him. Praise the Lord. Let's read the next one. Step four, let's regroup. We decided what we wanted. We found scriptures that said God would give it to us. We're meditating on those scriptures. And now, number four, ask God for what you want. Now, don't just throw something out there and say, oh, help me, Lord, help me, Lord. I have prayed emergency prayers, sure. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about sitting down at a table with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Perhaps you'd even take the communion element, some juice. It doesn't have to be grape juice. Some bread. It doesn't have to be those crackers. Come before God and say, I'm in covenant with you. Jesus is my Lord, and I'm praying for help. You know that I have a bill that's due, and I don't have the money. You know I need a place to live, and I don't have a place. You know my car is falling apart. You know all the circumstances. Now, I am asking you for your help. It's a serious thing. to ask God for what you want, and then believe you receive when you pray. Go ahead, sister. John 14:14 says, if you ask anything in my name, I, Jesus, will do it. That's a promise you can lean on, you can trust in. Lord, I don't know. I did the wrong thing, and now I'm in a mess. And I want you to get me out of the mess. He'll do it. He'll do it. It's a promise. Go, Hope. Go ahead. The key is to ask in the name of Jesus. See, there's no power in my words unless I use the name of Jesus. There's no power in this church unless we use the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus contains all that Jesus is and all the power he has to rescue you. Next, Mark 11:23. Think about anything else, think about this one, because this is a promise to you. Say to me. Say, this is to me. Say, I receive this. It's for me. It works for me. I can do it. All right, let's read. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, now that could be a trouble, a problem, or whatever, be removed. Say that. Be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Next screen. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, when do you do the believing? When you pray. When you ask. Believe right then. Believe right then. I tell you what, I have had some doozies of experiences. One year on my birthday, the kids were little, it was cold, lived in Dallas, and the way our house was set up, we had a door lock and a chain. And then I always just drove into the garage door opener, and just drove in the garage and came in the side door. When I tried to come in the side door, the door was locked. I thought, that's weird, but I found the key and got in. And the house was turned upside down. And I thought, I know I'm not a good housekeeper, but I don't remember leaving it quite like this. The cushions were off the couch, and the drawers were open. You remember this? And it was a mess. And so I started looking around, and the back door had been left open. And it was cold outside. It took me 3 days to warm that house back up. They had taken my silver. They had taken my jewelry. They had taken the new TV for Christmas. They had taken the new VCR. They had taken the children's coats. They had taken the ice cream out of the freezer. A bad situation, right? A bad situation. So who do we call on for that? Well, we call on the Lord. Help me, Lord. And when I was standing there praying, help me, Lord, he did not magically cause ice cream to appear. He did not magically cause my things to come back to me. But he assured me he'll take care of it. The next day I went to work, and someone came in with coats for my kids. Someone came in with, almost $100, $1,000 to buy a new TV and a new this and a new that. And so, see, God had a way to take care of me. So I don't want you to think when you pray, oh, Father, pay this bill, and you open your eyes and there's money on your table. Uh-uh. It doesn't work that way. But he will give you the power. He will give a way to make a way, and you will have them. Go ahead, Hope. Proverbs 6:2 says you're snared by the words of your mouth. So this is, we preach this all the time. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But watch your words. I told them in the first service, I'm the word police. And so when they say, I think I'm going to have to go to the doctor, I said, wait. Change your thinking. Change your words. Don't let your words snare you. Go ahead, sister. And I want to emphasize the spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith as King David, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, faith is not just kind of some kind of unction you have to pull up. Oh, I have faith. Oh, God's going to take care of me. Oh, I don't know how, but oh, it's got to work. No, that's not faith. Faith is in two parts, believing and speaking. So what you believe And what you speak brings what you get. I'll say that again. What you believe and what you speak brings what you get. Go ahead, sister. The spirit of faith. Faith is believing you receive just because God said so. That's your evidence. God said so. It's just like if you had a rich uncle and he said, when you turn 18, I'm going to give you a new car, or I'm going to pay for you to go to college. Well, that promise is just as good as that person's word, right? You got something better than a rich uncle, honey. You got a daddy. You got a rich, powerful, all-wise daddy. And he says, I'm going to take care of your needs. And you say, Lord, I need some money to go to college. He said, okay, go register. Do you remember that story of Kenneth Copeland went to register for ORU? He was embarrassed because he was 30 years old, and most freshmen are 18. And he was embarrassed because he wasn't sure what he was doing, but he knew, he heard the Lord say, go to ORU. So he's in line to register. Not a dime in his pocket. Okay, Lord. After I choose my classes, they're going to want some money, Lord. Okay, Lord, I'm trying to obey you. Here I am, Lord. Help. He gets up to the place, and right before he has to pay, they say, is there a Kenneth Copeland here? He said, yeah, that's me. There's a phone call. And he goes to the phone, and it's his dad. Said, oh, I need to tell you, somebody came by and gave you some money. I put it in the bank, and it was just enough to pay his tuition and buy his books with 50 cents left over, which he and Gloria took to buy a Coke. You know, he was walking it out. He was standing fast. He was believing God, and God came through for him. One more time. Faith is believing you receive just because God said you do. Go ahead now. Step 5, refuse to allow doubt and fear to enter your consciousness. And honey, they will bombard you. You're not good enough. You don't deserve it. You've done something wrong. You didn't pray right. You didn't read the Bible right. You didn't study right. You missed church too many times. You made wrong decisions. You married the wrong person. You had the wrong kids. Got the wrong job. I mean, everything will come against you, and it'll start raining, and you forgot an umbrella, and the devil will say, see, that's a sign, you missed it. No, refuse to allow doubt and fear to enter your consciousness. Next, be aggressive to guard your thoughts and words. Go ahead. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You bring every thought, say every thought, say every thought. Say every thought.
Every thought.
Is that possible? Yes. Bring every thought into captivity. So you think, oh, they don't like me. Oh, stop that thought right there. Grab that thought in Jesus' name and say, no. I'm casting that down. Step 6, see yourself succeed and not fail. Go ahead. Keep the vision of your answered prayer alive. See yourself in that new car. See yourself in that new house. See yourself with that promotion at work. See yourself with that new job. See yourself paying your rent ahead of time. See yourself. Keep that vision ahead. Go ahead. Give God continual praise and thanksgiving. Now, you don't have to put on the CD and dance around the room if you don't want to. But keep praise. I mean, the thing that should come to your mouth all the time is praise the Lord. Just like that wonderful song. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I read a book called There's Dynamite in Praise. And in the book, the man said, if you will say praise the Lord, that phrase, if you'll say it 10 times in a row, it will change your whole outlook toward the situation. So let's practice. Ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. Now, I don't know what situation you were thinking of, but I know there's hope in there. Next, he is worthy of all praise. Next, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious or don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You give thanks, just like John said. Give thanks ahead of time. Give thanks to God. Praise God. Let your request be made known to God. And that giving thanks will lift that spirit of heaviness. It will lift that fear. It will lift that doubt. Go ahead. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now, this is so cool to me. I never thought about peace as being a guard. But peace is standing guard in your heart, ready to fight the enemy on your behalf. You know why you have peace? Because you know you're bigger than the enemy. You're stronger than the enemy. Praise God. Next. Step 8, make every prayer a statement of faith. So when you're praying, you're saying, I know you're going to do this. I believe you're going to do this. I'm sure you're going to do this. And you know you can make a statement of faith just as easily as you can make a statement of unbelief. It's just as easy to say good as bad. Just as easily to praise God as to sit and be in fear. Next, step 9, testify to what you believe. Tell people, God's doing this for me. God's doing this for me. God's doing this for me. Because your testimony of faith, when they see the result, it's going to encourage them. Go ahead to the 9. Get on the giving end. Sow seeds. Give, and it will be given back to you. Amen. The prosperity, true prosperity, is walking with God to be able and equipped to do for others. Where's that Malachi scripture, sister? Go ahead. Go ahead. Well, Luke is good. Go back. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure you use will be measured back to you. That's why I encourage you to be a tither. Give 10% of your income to the Lord. If you don't give it to this church, give it somewhere. Amen? I'm not trying to get your money. I'm trying to get you a blessing. Give, and it'll be given to you. Amen? Go ahead. Malachi 3:10. I just want to finish with this. The Lord promises, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. The indication is he's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out, go ahead to the next verse, and pour out a blessing, pour out from the windows of heaven. Is it going to be death and disease? Is it going to be sickness and trouble? Is it going to be torment? No, a blessing. So great, you won't have room enough to take it in. He said, try me. Put me to the test. Give and see what I'll give back to you. Okay, let's go through the 10. You got your little card. Number 1, decide what you want from the Lord. Number 2, locate scriptures that promise you what you want from the Lord. Number 3, get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart. Number 4, ask God and believe you receive when you pray. Number 5, refuse to allow doubt and fear to enter your consciousness. Number 6, see yourself succeed and not fail. Number 7, give God continual praise and thanksgiving. Stop right there. Let's practice. Say, praise the Lord. Praise we the praise Lord. You, Jesus. Praise hallelujah. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for answering my prayer. Thank you for meeting my needs. Amen. Number 8, make every prayer a statement of faith. Number 9, testify to what you believe. And number 10, get in on the giving end. Now, in the name of Jesus, if there's somebody here that has a need, I don't want to know it. I just want you to raise your hand. You have a need. Have a need, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, there are people here that have needs. You already know it, but this is us asking you to take care of the need. Take care of their homes. Take care of their safety. Take care of their families. Take care of their loved ones. Take care of their finances. And take care of their bodies. Let them be strong. You said that they could prosper and they could be in health as their soul prospers. So allow us, Lord, remind us during the day to give you time, to give you praise, to read the Bible, to take a word from you, to meditate on what your word means to us and how we are going to be delivered from every circumstance that is not of God. Father, we bless you, we praise you, and we glorify you in Jesus' name.